The Spies of Heartlake Hall by R. L. Graham. Read by Carl Prekop. To the friends, family, and colleagues who have helped me through the darkness, and to Marilyn, who is always there. Heartlake Hall, Chudleigh, Kent. Sir John Borden, Baronet, and Maud, Lady Borden, welcome their guests for the weekend. Commander George St. John Colson, DSC, Royal Navy, Naval Intelligence Division. Mr. Herbert Fairbairn, CB, head of the Russia and Middle East Desk at the Foreign Office. Mrs. Natalie Fairbairn, his wife. Mr. Patrick Gallagher, Paymaster General's Office. Mr. James Rogers Lansing, President of Lansing Oil Company. Mr. Nicholas McCarrion, Chairman of McCarrion and Litzoff Lines. Mrs. Penelope McCarrion, his wife. Lieutenant Geraint Price, Royal Navy Admiralty Secretariat. Mrs. Edith Price, his wife. Captain Merrick Ryder, DSO, Royal Navy, Naval Planning Division. Lieutenant Charles Tovey, Royal Navy Transport Division. Mrs. Jonquil Vane, Paymaster General's Office. Chapter 1. Admiralty, Old Building, London. Wednesday, the 31st of January, 1917. 6:22 a.m.
Good morning, Mrs. Vane. I say, it's rather chilly in here. You should light a fire.
Jonquil Vane looked up from the keys of her typewriter. An unremarkable-looking woman in her mid-30s. She wore a shapeless overcoat, fingerless gloves, and a scarf around her neck. "There is a fire," she said, nodding towards the tiny, inadequate fireplace, where lumps of coal smouldered feebly. "There are also gaps around the windows that you could drive a cart through, and a 30-knot wind from the east. What can I do for you, Mr. Kingston?" Kingston, a balding man in a badly fitting blue uniform with a single wavy gold stripe on each sleeve, consulted the note in his hand.
"When you've a moment, Mrs. Vane, we need a few things from the stationery cupboard. 5 reams of foolscap, if we may, and 20 bound notebooks. Oh, and a couple of boxes of pencils, if it's not too much bother," he added apologetically.
"It's no bother," said Mrs. Vane. "I'll fetch them now." The officer hesitated for a moment.
"You know, Mrs. Vane, I'm sure it's jolly boring for you to have to keep hopping up and down whenever we need anything. If the stationery cupboard was left unlocked, we could just help ourselves whenever we wanted. We wouldn't have to keep disturbing you."
Mrs. Vane opened her desk and took out a set of keys. "It is precisely because you fellows have a habit of helping yourselves whenever you want to whatever you want that the stationery cupboard is locked. It may have escaped your notice, but there is a war on." Kingston looked hurt. "It's only a few bits of paper," he said defensively.
"All for the want of a horseshoe nail," said Mrs. Vane.
"Shoo. I'll bring your paper and pencils along directly." Obediently, Kingston departed. Mrs. Vane went out of her office, closing the door and locking it behind her. The corridor was bare, with distempered white walls and harsh electric lighting that made her eyes ache. Cigarette smoke drifted like haze in the air. Descending the stairs to the first floor, she walked along another corridor to the stationery cupboard, where she inserted her key in the lock and turned the knob. The door refused to open. Frowning, she tried again, and then a third time, leaning her weight on the door. Still, it did not budge. "For heaven's sake," she muttered to herself. On her feet were a pair of strong leather boots, unladylike, but practical in the harsh winter weather. She raised one foot and stamped against the door. Nothing happened. She kicked it again, harder. Another man in uniform